And welcome to each and every one this morning. Good to see you here. It's a beautiful day out there, isn't it? But that wind is so strong coming up the interstate, it kind of shocked you, knocked you around a little bit. But I was looking out my back door, our patio door, and it was so neat watching the leaves. I mowed our yard yesterday evening, and the neighbor's leaves then naturally keeps coming over there. And they're blowing across the yard, and they're just dancing, you know, just like they're just so joyfully and so forth, just dancing all over the place, you know. I thought that's pretty neat. And so we're here this morning, and Scripture said, you know, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be also. So we got two or three, and so we welcome you here. We know that things are kind of difficult, and people are questioning this or that or whatever, but I believe if there's any place that I'd want to be, I'd want to be in the church house. We can go to Walmart or anywhere else, but I mean, if there's any one place I'd want to be at this time of the, and during this type of thing that we're going through, would be in the church house. And so we welcome you, and we pray for those who are not with us, that God will bless them. I want to lead you in the 23rd Psalm this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, and leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I skipped you already in the mic.
That's fine.
Okay, let's take off wherever you want to.
All right. Opening hymn this morning will be 308, if we can all stand, please. And then Benny will have the prayer. Oh, yeah. First verse, it's Miss Kathleen isn't here. Thanks, Brian. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me.
God, our Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, we're so thankful that we have this opportunity and the privilege. We have the freedom to do that. And so I was reading the story this week of the missionaries and how that their door was broken in and men came in with machetes and guns and took them out of their house and took those Christian people and put them in a camp and held them there for months and months. And yet we're so thankful, dear God, that we're free to come and to worship you and to praise you and honor you and give thanks to you for your goodness to us. And you have been good to us, dear God. You're always good to us. You blessed us throughout this past week once again. You helped us with our difficulties. You've helped us with our problems, our illnesses and our problems, with our issues that we have with our health. You've blessed our people that has had operations and tests. And we thank you for that, dear God. We thank you for the people gathered here this morning and for their desire to be that shining light and keep the light kind of burning, even though that we're not back full force here. And we pray, Heavenly Father, you will bless their efforts. And we pray, Father, for those that are not with us, that you will bless them and that they'll feel your presence as we gather here today, that maybe their presence be with us in the Spirit. So we thank you for that, dear God. We pray, Heavenly Father, for Lunabelle and loss of her husband. And we don't know, some of our people knows what that is, and I don't know what that is, and I pray I never have to experience that, but it must be a drastic thing when your mate is taken from you and you're left alone. And so we pray for comfort for her and for those like her. We pray, dear God, for this nation, that Heavenly Father, we'll be drawn back to you and we'll honor you and be blessed by you. But now, Heavenly Father, we're here and we want to honor you, want to praise you. We just want to be together here, dear God, and in the presence of the Lord. And we invite the Holy Spirit to be among us as we dwell here today, and help us as we look into your word and as we sing, Heavenly Father, draw us close. Help us to feel your arm around us, Almighty God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Communion hymn will be 353. I know the bulletin says 374, but I don't know that one. 353, verse 1, and then I'll have the prayer.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
For I have received of the Lord, which also I delivered unto you. This is from Paul speaking to the Corinthians. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as you often as you do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Amen. Let us pray.
Dear great Lord above, we want to thank you for the great sacrifice that you gave. We thank you for this loaf and this cup. We pray, Lord, that we remember that the loaf is your broken body on the cross. We pray, Lord, that you please help us to remember these emblems. We thank you for your great love that you poured upon us. We ask, Lord, that you please bless the offerings that we give today. We ask, Lord, that you please bless the gift and the giver. That you please use those funds to further your kingdom. We pray for your blessings upon this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. We'll just say the word of thanks for our offerings. That God bless you. And I look out here and I see you folks and look to me like you're right well blessed. And so we want to thank God for that. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us in the material things that we have. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the convenience of all these things that you bless us with. We thank you for our earnings, and Heavenly Father, that we have for our living. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll bless this offering that we've brought back for each one, that you would bless it, Heavenly Father, and Heavenly Father, might it be even multiplied and used for the kingdom here to keep our building in good shape and to help anybody that is in need and to reach out to the lost, not only this community, but be a part of the mission for the world, the salvation of souls. We pray and thank you for blessing us that way. Amen. We have quite a list of people on our prayer list, and we had those that we had last week have been added. And I'm just going to share with you because you can read as well as I can, and I'll probably miss some names anyhow. But let's take our prayer list, and you look up and down those, and we'll We know Pauline Cook, we're glad that she's got a little relief from this arthritis thing. Richard Ukirk, Tina's father, talked to them, it's surprising, you know. I'd talked to him a few times, but we hadn't really mentioned her father. And, you know, we'd talked that he had some pretty drastic times there, but he's doing okay. I got to talk to Tina in person down at the hospital when Maxine was down there, and that was pretty. I was glad to see it. And she's just like our sparky old person that she's always is, joyful and going and so forth. She does a good ministry down there in the hospital, and so we're glad to hear that he's doing, you know, he's doing okay. I guess coming, he's not hospitalized or not. In a rest home or anything, so praise the Lord for that. And Jerry talked to Judy and him last night, and the operation went okay. He's going back tomorrow to for the doctor to check him out to see if everything's going to working all right. And so we pray that it will. Dudo, he's not here. He went for some tests like last week, and I think this week he starts wearing a monitor. And to check out his heart and so forth. I wore that monitor for about a week. They had a monitor on me, and I don't know what that is. But it's a good thing to be able to do those things, but it's kind of aggravating to have to wear that thing and face it all over you. But we're thankful for those things that they can do and use, and I'm amazed that I could be anywhere around in Grant or Pendleton County when I was wearing that thing, and they're monitoring me out back at the hospital. That to me is miraculous. I don't know how they do that, but they can do it. And so I'm thankful that they can, because they can keep track, and if something perks up there, that they can notify you and tell you to get on back in here. And then also it can give them a report of what's taking place day by day, and then be able to minister to you in that way. So be thanking the Lord for that. I haven't talked to Vernon. I did talk to Virgil, and Virgil is hopefully he's going to get straightened out here. Boy, he's had a time of this, and we hope and pray that they'll be able to work with him and get him straightened out. And as I was telling Michael, that Maxine had a little setback this week, but she's doing pretty good now, but she's still having, somehow or another, she's having pain in her hip instead of her back, and that's not been too comfortable, and so we're going to check on that to see what's happening there this week. And then, of course, we mentioned Lulabelle, and most of you know her, that Billy passed away, and so that's going to be a private funeral and so forth, so be in prayer for them. That's a tough time to go with, and some of you folks know all about that, and you need prayers, and you need God's strength, and God's blessing, God's comfort, and we know He will do that. Okay, anybody else on there that you want to make notice of? Anybody? I went Thursday and had a, whatever you call that, corona check, and I checked out all right. I have to go tomorrow and have fluid drained off again. I don't feel it. I don't feel different than what I did. I mean, I praise the Lord. I've always felt good. I've never had hurt from the day one but somehow or another, when I went the other day for a week or so ago or whatever, and the doctor that did my operation said, "You're good. Don't come back." And when I got home, they had called from his office and told Maxine that I needed to go get a X-rays of my chest and so forth. What promoted that, I don't know, because I was really feeling good. And so I did do that, and I took the corona. Tomorrow I'll go to that appointment to go get the fluid drained off again. That's the third time. They told me the first time that probably wouldn't come back. They told me that the second time, too. And If they tell me that the third time, I'm going to stop them before they tell me, if I hear those words start out. But anyhow, then Wednesday, I believe it is, or Thursday, I have an appointment with a new doctor who is going to analyze the fluid and see if they can determine why it's coming back. So I appreciate if you'll pray that, Lord, guide those fellas so I can get done with them. I mean, my chart on the, that I have on the computer, I mean, doctors, that long list on that thing, that's enough. I'm getting tired of that, you know, going all the time. But praise God, I mean, I don't feel any different than I did last year. I don't feel any pains or anything. And I wanted to almost say, hey, I'm feeling too good to go to the back to a doctor, you know, but I'm going to have to go this time and do what they say and see what happens. So we have a lot of folks here on our prayer list, and and you got the message this week, I'm sure, that of Bergen's dad getting transferred now back and so forth. And he's taking the same medicine they gave to Trump, they said. And I haven't talked to him the last couple of days. Maybe some of you all had. And so I'm assuming that he's doing well and so forth. And I mentioned his mother. Of course, his mother was just she didn't have it. She was just quarantined. And Kim and Keith is not here today because they come in contact with somebody that has it, so they're staying away today. And so we just pray that they don't get any attachment to that. Okay, as we come then to our prayer time, if there's anything else you want to add to the prayer list, well, please raise your hand and feel free to do that. If not, then Michael, let's sing and let's stand. And Robert, will you have our prayer then?
Everybody saying? We'll be doing 19, first verse only. I come to the garden alone
while the dew is still on the roses,
and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God
discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own,
and the joy we share as we tarry there,
none other has ever known.
Our most holy Lord, say, thank you for the opportunity to come into your house to worship thee and sing songs of praise. We also thank you for the ability to pray to thee, Father. And Father, we come to thee praying for healing and comfort upon our prayer list and upon this nation and upon this church family, to help those who are suffering with mourning and hurt, help those who are recovering from illness, Lord. We know that you can heal and touch each and every one of these people. We pray that you do so, Lord. We ask and pray for your guidance and protecting hand over our servicemen and military and our caregivers also, Father. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Robert.
Hymn of decision will be 325. Do we have any specials?
Well, we've been this last couple of weeks. Last week we started, I guess I might say. We was talking about some barriers that we have. Some barriers that we're going to have to break down. Some barriers that stands between us and people who do not know Jesus. People that maybe have known Jesus and have left him out and left him out of their lives. There's reasons for all that. And usually it's some barrier there that's causing it. We talked last week, if you remember, about the condemnation. And I'm convinced that many people, and maybe some of your neighbors and so forth, feel condemned because of the word religion or because of the word Christianity. And it's very possible then that they are on a defense from us because of that. I don't know. But I know that there's barriers of a certain kind. And so last week we said condemnation, and we shared some thoughts about that. And this morning I want to share with you for a little while. I'd like to talk to you about separation. And I get to verse 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. And it says, Paul says here, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separated, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Now, I'm going to explain that verse a little bit later, but I want to just talk with you a little bit about this separation. Let me ask you, do you think that we as Christians should separate ourselves, our children, from secular people, secular things? I know Paul says, come out from among them. I believe many people take this verse the wrong way. And I do not believe that it is saying that we should not associate with people who don't believe as we do. Neither do I believe that we should shun them, shun those which the scripture calls sinners. We all are sinners. We all have sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But praise God, He had favor upon us. And by the grace of God, we are saved through Christ Jesus. And so we cannot look down, we cannot condemn, we cannot separate ourselves from people that the scripture calls sinners. I believe we must do everything in our power. And I think probably we all could say that we're guilty of this. I'm quite convinced that all of us, I hope you haven't, but I'm convinced that we all are guilty of separating ourselves from somebody or more than somebody for some reason or another. But I believe that now that we should do everything in our power to become friends with many non-Christians as we can. As many non-Christians as we can. But we are not to participate in what is called the unclean things. You and I have been called out of that. But we must make friends. We must befriend people who are caught up in their sins and are not experiencing the wonderful things of God. We know that Jesus walked among sinners. We've talked even last week and the week before about Jesus coming and seeking the lost and how He dealt with sinners and so forth. And I know that Jesus walked among sinners, and Jesus associated with people much, much different than He was. And I'm afraid that we, even in the Christian church, and I say this with kindness, I think we in the Christian church have come to somewhat of a thing that we've kind of condemned some people, and that we have separated from some people. And I believe we need to rethink that, and we need to be available to those people. We need to reach out to every possible person we can that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Didn't the scribes and the Pharisees condemn and accuse Jesus of associating with the sinners? Oh, yes, He did. It was only the religious proud who withdrew them from Jesus. The scribes and the Pharisees, you know how they treated Jesus, how they withdrew Jesus, and how they withdrew and they criticized Him. They took offense of Him, and they wished to get rid of Him. They wanted Him out of their world. They wanted Him out of the world, period. In fact, many times they tried to catch Him up and even kill Him. They was going to stone Him to death one time, and He just separated from them. So we know that they were opposed to Jesus. But you know, when we read in the scripture, what we think about the prostitutes, the crooks, the drunks, the gluttons, the sinners, they all wanted to be close to Jesus. And you know, I'm convinced there's many people out there that, I hope you take this right, that I guess we put it in a category, I hate to say that, but we look at as sinners, well, they are, because they're caught up in sin. And we look upon them, and you know, I think some of them want to be near Jesus. I really do. And I believe some, there are people out there, and there's probably people up and down some of these roads that is just wishing for somebody like you to come along and encourage them, or to tell them about Jesus, or to tell them that they have opportunities as you do. You know, Jesus took time, didn't he? All these the crooks and the drunks and so forth, but they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, didn't they? You see, and you read in the scriptures, don't you, how I can visualize the crippled. They were just crippled and clinging toward Jesus. The lady with the issue of blood, she just had to press her way through and get a hold of Jesus. She wanted close to Jesus. She knew if she got to Jesus, she could be healed. And I believe there's some people today that want to get close to Jesus, and they just don't, because they know how to do that, or they just need somebody to encourage them to do that. And that's people like you and people like me that we need to consider. We know that these accusations they made about Jesus, that he was a glutton and a drunk. I think you read that in the book of Luke, records that for us, that the people called him a glutton. They called him a drunken. But we know those accusations weren't true. They were false. As we said last week, that's some of the false rumors that they put out, some of the false news that people wanted others to hear that was certainly wasn't right. But we know that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are. The scripture says that. He came, he was tempted with everything that we are. But he was without sin. Jesus didn't apologize, did he? He didn't apologize for being friends with the least. Those that were looked down upon, and by the religious leaders, or the so-called religious leaders of that day. And you can very quickly find where that the religious leaders of that day looked down upon. You know, in Matthew 26, and I believe verse 13, I think, that runs clear through that, we have recorded there that Jesus was in Bethany, and he had been invited to Simon, to a man by the name of Simon. Simon was a leper, and he was invited to his house for a meal. And while they were there, here comes this lady in. And if we look at a couple other passages, it says about her that she was a not the most liked woman and was not the best respectable woman in town. She was looked down upon, especially with the religious leaders. And they come this woman in with an alabaster box, very precious ointment. And she poured it on his feet, and with her tears, she washed his feet, and with her hair, she let her hair down. And that's one of the things that a woman wasn't supposed to do in that day. So she did a bad thing right there, just being a woman and letting her hair down. But she took her hair down and wiped his feet. They were sitting at meat. They were eating. And some people says, well, how, you know, we if you tell that in the modern day, they would say, well, how did she do that? Well, we know because we've studied, haven't we, the scripture, and we know when they come to a mealtime, they lay on their side. They lay on their side with their feet sticking out backwards. So this lady that came into this room while they were now all gathered around the table laying out and their feet sticking out had quick access to his feet. So no problem with that, is there? We could see that and understand that. And she came and she knelt at his feet and poured the wiped him with her tears and put this ointment on him. And you know, Jesus understood it and said to them, you know, because what did they want to do? If you remember what the disciples said, or some of the people there said, whoa, what a waste. Why wasn't this sold and given to the poor, so to speak, I think? And Jesus understood them and why they troubled. And he saith, you know, he said, this woman's done a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but ye, me, you have not always. And for she had poured this ointment on his body. She had done that toward his burial, he says. And he goes on to say, very, verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel is preached, this woman is going to be mentioned. This woman here is going to be told in the gospel, and it's going to be a memorial to her for what she has done. Jesus was willing to upset the apple cart of the religious, people. He did those things which the Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees thought was improper to do. But Jesus says she has done a good work. He did not criticize that woman for that. In fact, he lifted her up. And I say again, he wasn't afraid to say to them, what an evil thought you have. He wasn't afraid, you know, to say to them, you religious people, you've looked upon this woman, you've looked upon people like this in the wrong way. The scripture says every time that he dealt with somebody, a leper, a blind person, a lame person, a sick person, it says he looked upon them with love. He looked upon them with love. And friends, that's what we have to do. You know, Jesus said, even love your enemy. Do good to those who despise you. And we have to look upon that. And you know, sometimes we're kind of in that category, aren't we? We're in a category where some people will abuse us and they don't like us. So that ought to just give us a stronger incentive to share with them and question, you know, what they're doing and share with them better results from that. Let me ask you, are you willing to offend the religious or the holier than thou? You know, there is a lot of people, and you have seen some of them. And if you've been around very much at all, you have met people who think they're holier than thou, and they would not take time to share something with a drunk, a crook, a prostitute. No, they wouldn't touch him with what they old say, with a 10-foot pole. But Jesus says that we need to draw nigh to people like that and encourage people like that. You know, we were condemned and doomed for hell until someone shared with us or encouraged us with the Word of God. Those people don't deserve to be shut out, separated from. Jesus was a thorn in the side of the religious people. When you read that, you know, you almost have to laugh. I do laugh when I read about what Jesus will, you know, and I try to get a feel of what he's doing. And listen, when the Jews comes toward him and condemns him, he just steps right up and says, let me tell you. And when we are challenged with something, well, and they want to condemn us for our belief, our Christianity, or if they want to condemn us and say we have condemned them, or if we have separated from them and don't want nothing to do, just step up and say, let me tell you. If you'll just take a minute and let me explain to you where we're coming from. And the Lord has sent me to tell you this, and then you can tell them the good things that God would have you to tell them of. How would you like to lead one person to the Lord Jesus Christ? And that person then would bring their whole family to the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And you know, you could. It's very possible. That's not impossible. I have seen that done. I've seen where one person, a young man or a young lady, a teenage boy or girl, has been at camp and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and went home and told her parents about what happened, what they'd learned about Jesus, and they knew they needed to repent and be baptized and raised to walk in the newness of, so we could have this friend Jesus with us all the time. And you know, the whole family came. In a short time, whole families. I could name you a couple right off that did that. I had experience with that. That can happen. Just think, if you could just bring one and they could win their whole family, how wonderful that would be. There has been many a person that has been led to Jesus in that way. I'm going to be talking with the parables, Sierra. We're going to get into those parables later on. I don't know how soon. But you know, there's one in there that says we need to be 100% people. And that's when the servant give his coins, 5 to 1, 2 to 1, and 1 to 1. That's very interesting parable. And we need to be, you know, we can be 100% people, and you'll be guessing or you'll be thinking on that from now till the time we get that parable probably. But you know, let me say this. God doesn't expect any more from you than what you can do. And that parable teaches that also. But he does teach you that there's something you can do. And he tells me there's something I can do. He's telling this church there's something we can do. We might not be 5 talent people, and we might not be 2 talent people, but I'll guarantee you we're 1 talent people, at least. And we might be more than that. We'll discover that. We'll talk about that later. Come out from among them. This verse, and I've mentioned this before, when you're studying the scripture, you cannot take a verse and use that, which is done every Sunday, every Lord's Day, and more than that. You can listen to preachers all around on the internet or wherever, go to churches and so forth, and you will find more times than not, I have a bad habit sometimes of just using one verse, and I got to get back to what I used to do using more than one verse, because you can't really get everything out of it unless you take the whole context of it. This verse that Paul is using here is from Isaiah chapter 3, verse 11. And this verse is spoken to the Jews who had been in captivity and were in captivity, and they had mingled with others. They had mingled with people who were worshiping idols. And God told them to come out from them. And he would be their God. They would be his people. Now that was back there in the Old Testament. That was for the Jews. Now Paul brings that forward to the Corinthians here. Now here's what he does. It's not what is said there, per se, it's the principle. And that's what you have to deal with. It's not really the verse itself. It is the principle. We have many, many verses, and I shared with you here on a Wednesday night thing about Paul talking to the Philippians. And there was a couple of verses I dealt with at length, because people, you know, how misconstrued people uses Philippians, what, 4:13, when it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That is just used terribly. It's taken out of context. And Paul didn't mean that you could just fly an airplane if you could just drive a car. He didn't say you could do anything you wanted to do. Paul said, I can be content with what I have because Christ strengthens me. And you see, they don't go on and get the rest of that verse. But there's a principle there. And so you don't look really at the verse and what it says. You look at the principle. And that's what Paul's doing. Paul goes back and gets this verse and brings it forward and it gets the principle out of it. And he's not calling them, he is not calling them as Isaiah was calling the Jews and so forth. He's not calling them like that. He's just using that verse as a principle, and we then can apply that principle to our lives. You with me? So it's a very good thing to understand and a very good way to come to study your scripture because of all the false things that are out there and all the misconstrued scripture that's there. And Paul does not use this language as it had been used originally. But he referenced to the Christians. He's talking to the church at Corinth, see? He's not talking to people who are worshiping idols, so to speak, as they were when it was talked to them in the Old Testament. But Paul uses this language that was originally referenced to here, and he gives it to Christians, and he applies that. It is as containing, it contains an important principle, put it that way. An important principle. And it was applicable in the case what he was considering, or the language which was appropriately expressed here in the idea which he wished to convey. And so many of the New Testament writers will go back to the Old Testament and pull a passage or a verse out of there and use that to then help you to understand what he's telling you. And that's what Paul is doing here. Are you with me? And it says, touch not the unclean thing. I remember sitting in on a trial some years ago at Williamstown. And it was a trial of a gang there, a drug gang that was caught in Williamstown, and they were on trial. And the lawyer for the drug gang put the arresting officer, which was an undercover agent, put him on the stand, and he said to him, did you not smoke pot with them? He said, did you not smoke pot with them up there in the apartment? And the undercover agent had to say, yes, I did, but I didn't inhale. And if I remember right, that case kind of got thrown out. What I'm saying here is this. He said, I had to pretend that I was smoking with them to get them to accept me. You with me? We do not have to participate in the sins of somebody to get them to accept us. We must befriend them and encourage them and teach them of Jesus so that they can become like us. Isn't that the way we're supposed to do that? This verse is not saying that this verse is saying that we don't need to be accepted as one of them. How many of you have read the book, The Cross and the Switchblade? Any of you have ever read that book, The Cross and the Switchblade? That was written by a Pentecostal preacher. And what he did, he had read or heard about these 10 teenagers who were criminal gangsters, really. Just anything that they could participate in, criminal, they did. His name is David Wilkerson. How many have you ever heard of David Wilkerson? He's wrote several books. This book he wrote was made a play also for television, not for television, but for the theaters, and Pat Boone played Dave Wilkerson. What Dave Wilkerson did, he went down to Brooklyn, and he endangered his own life. And he went among some of these criminal gangs, and he told them about Jesus. Told them about Jesus. And many, many of those gang members' lives were transformed. He wrote that book, and there's over 15 million copies of that book written. And of course, that mentioned the movie that was made for it. I'm not saying that we need to go into criminal activity of that nature. I don't think there's any criminal gangs here in Porter. Yes, sir, Michael. Okay. All right. But listen, there is people that needs to know about Jesus. There is people that need to know about Jesus. And we can't separate ourselves from them. We will not be able to carry out the mission that God has for us to do. We will not be able to share the Lord Jesus Christ if we separate ourselves from them, people. You and I know, and our lives have been transformed. You came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Was your life changed? And wouldn't you like to see everybody that you come in contact, their life changed also? And if we don't, if we separate ourselves from them, we're not going to get the opportunity to do that, are we? No. So you know what a transformed life is, and all you have to do is befriend people and tell them about what happened to you. How that Jesus came into your life and changed your life. And then the rejoicing comes when they come become a part of the church family because of what you have told them. That's wonderful. Here's some examples here. We run, boy, when time gets away. Here's some things that I think, you know, example. The Amish. I love the Amish. I love to go. And we had planned a trip, Ada. We were going up there. Maxine and I were this summer. We had planned, actually, we on our wedding anniversary, we usually go somewhere. I take her somewhere. And we had planned to go to the Amish country because we love it up there and love them people. But think about it. What have they done? They have separated themselves. You go up there. Most of you have probably been there. Hey, they are in an area. They have separated themselves from the world, so to speak. Well, they have businesses and so forth, and they'll do business with you. They'll get your money. That's okay. You like the things you buy. But when night comes, they're separated from town. They have separated. You know, there's kind of a difference between separation and isolation. They separated themselves, but they still will produce products that you can buy, and there are some here in these areas. Midnight over around Cynthiana, they come in, they kind of separate themselves. Let me ask you, how many Amish have you met that told you anything about Jesus? Huh? We've been to Amish country several times. We've been in shops and so forth and so forth, and been out in the country and talked to some of the people out in the country. So I never had one Amish. I'm not Christian, but you know, that's fact. And I think, and probably Brian testified to this, the Mormons kind of separated themselves, didn't they? They isolated, actually. They didn't actually isolate, did they? Because they have these guys that teenagers has to go out for such a period of time and evangelize. But, hey, when they leave my neighborhood, where do they go? They don't go uptown and live among the other people. They go back to their people. And so they have kind of a separation. And some have isolated. But see, the church has got a name, a bad name for that. Because some people have done that. Some people have separated themselves from their neighbors and their co-workers and so forth. And some of them has isolated themselves. Here's a case. And this is only one that I could tell you a dozen of. One time we were having revival here and we were out seeing the people on Saturday and sharing with the neighborhood about having revival. And don't get me wrong, I'm not faulting the person. It just that's the way it is. And I don't care who it is. It's the truth. And if it's truth, I can speak it. And so I went to this lady's house who lived behind the store down here. I know the people's name. I can't think of them now. The storehouse down here past Salem Road down there. I went to this lady's house back there. And this lady was real unwelcoming. There's another word for that. And she didn't want nothing to do with me because I had the leaflet in my hand. And as soon as I walked up to her, she was out in the yard and so forth. And I wanted to give her that. And she took it and looked at it and almost throwed it back at me and so forth. I said, well, ma'am, I didn't come here to offend you. I just come here to share with you. We're having revival. I know, and I don't want no part of it. Okay. And so thank you. I'm sorry I bothered you. And walked away. And the nearest neighbor to that was Catherine Gaines. And later on, I asked Catherine. I said, Catherine, you know the lady over here behind you? She said, I've never met her. Somebody isolated himself. Somebody separated himself. And I say that with kindness. That's just an example now. No offense to our dear Catherine or whatever. But hey, you can find that in different places. They don't know. We have a neighbor across the street, and we speak and so forth when he's out. But you know that we never hardly ever see him out in the yard. I see him out there mowing his yard. They come in and they raise the door and drive in and park, go in the house. They never come out. They don't have flowers out there to tend or anything. It seems like they just isolate from everybody else. One time he was up on his roof fixing something on his gutter or something. He had a drop card running up there. And I happened to be out. I don't know whether I went out to the mailbox or whether I was mowing or what. But anyhow, I happened to see that he tugged on it. And, you know, he didn't do that, you know, which a guy is supposed to do, tie the cards together. And so when he's up on the roof and he pulls on it and it unplugs down there. And I see him then get his phone out of his pocket. I know what he's going to do. He's going to call his son. So I run over there. And I said, well, wait a minute. I'll help you. I'll plug you back in. I'm going to tie these together. It's all right for you. So you won't pull the armpit again. And, you know, that's most of the conversation I've had with that man. He's not out. They're not out. Isolate themselves from the neighbors. And I don't know why. They're good people. We know their parents, and they're good people. But that happens. But I'm going to catch him out there one day and get between him and his house. I'm going to talk to him. You know, I'm going to talk to him. We can't separate. We can't isolate. Here, Daniel. Daniel, if you want a good biblical example, is Daniel. You all know Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar overrun Jerusalem, destroyed Jerusalem, took Daniel and all the young men, put them in his school and all that. Daniel is an example because here what? He was taken out of his territory, put in their territory, put in where they have a different culture, different customs, and he was told to eat of the king's meat and drink of the king's wine. And you know the story. Daniel said, no. I won't take of the king's meat. I won't drink of his wine. Will you let us then have this type of a menu? Now you see, Daniel didn't separate himself from them people. He didn't separate himself from Nebuchadnezzar or anybody else. But he didn't take of their unclean things. And the story goes, and you know what Daniel did. Daniel then went all through this stuff, and I believe it's chapter 1 and verse 8 maybe, that he says this, he purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart to not sin against God, not partake of those things that they weren't to partake of. And you know, quickly to the end of the story, Daniel, King, wasn't Darius, was it? I forget the name, but it wasn't Nebuchadnezzar. What was in and off? It just slipped through. But anyhow, the king. The king then, who was fond of Daniel, yet did what his people wanted him to do because he wanted to stay popular with them. And God protected him. And the king says, Daniel, are you well? He said, God has closed the lion's mouth and protected me. And he says that Darius was his name, I just looked to see. King Darius, you know what he did? King Darius sent out a decree over all his territory. And in short words, he said, anybody that doesn't respect the God of Daniel is going to get... So Daniel purposed in his heart, didn't separate himself from them, but stayed in the... He stayed in the temple or wherever the king was and stuff. He stayed in that area a lot. He had business. He did business for them. He mingled with them. But he purposed in his heart not to partake of those things. And he alone, by the mighty hand of God, wrenched a whole kingdom of people. And Darius says, we're going to honor Daniel's God. Hey folks, isn't that what we want to do? Tell people about God and what he has done so they honor him and their lives can be changed. We could go on with other examples, but we're going to have to quit now. It's like our Wednesday night, we just run out of time too quick, don't we? So friends, what am I saying? You know, we could say the other examples, but what am I saying is this. We should not separate ourselves from people that are different from us. We should not isolate ourselves from our neighbor or our co-workers and so forth. We must befriend them. If David Wilkerson hadn't befriended those criminal gangs at Brooklyn, who knows what would have taken place? Who knows what would have happened to them? Who knows what they would have destroyed? Who knows how many lives they would have destroyed along with themselves? But because he took the initiative to go and tell them about Jesus, many lives were transformed, and those transformed lives, there's no doubt about it, probably told many other, and their lives were transformed into the Jesus we know. Friends, what I'm saying, we must not separate ourselves. We must not isolate ourselves from those that need to hear the wonderful, wonderful gospel message. I jumped over one story, but I have to tell it to you real quick because that's my end line. Jesus, you know, when we're talking about isolating, separating, isolating the Jews and the Samaritans, you know the story about them. The Samaritans lived in an area around Sychar. And the Jews had isolated or separated themselves in such a way they would not go through Samaria. They would go to great length around not to come in contact with the Samaritans. But you know what Jesus said? I must go through Samaria. And there at the well, he met a woman whom he told who he was. And she came to realize she had met the Master. And she ran back to Sychar, a woman who they despised there, who they separated from, who they isolated from. And she told them what had happened to her. And it says, whole Sychar went out to Jesus. That woman brought a whole city to Jesus. Line to quit with. I say to Porter Church, we must go through Samaria. Let's stand and sing the invitation hymn as we close this morning. The 325, is it? Okay. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Folks, thank you for taking the time to be in the Lord's house. And, you know, we just got to keep it going. We got to just keep going forward. We got to keep the light shining here. And we got to keep the fires warm so that people will come back. They'll be warmed by the love of God. Brian, so glad to have you folks here this morning. Would you dismiss us in God's love and care?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this gathering. Thank you for your blessing, your guidance, your presence, your mercy. Thank you for it all. I pray we'll take your message today and learn to separate from the things that are not of your will, but learn to be inclusive, to help bring others under the umbrella of your holiness. Pray, Heavenly Father, that help us go forward. Bless us, guide us, and guard us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. I'm so glad. The family of God. I'm washed in the blood. Cleansed by his blood. Joined heirs with Jesus as we travel the sod. I'm a part of the family of God. Well, God bless you. Have a great week, a safe week, and I hope things all go well for you. And if the Lord tarries, as far as I know, unless the elders gives us word that things can get worse, well, we'll look forward to seeing you here next Lord's Day, and just keep praising him for his goodness, keep sharing his goodness with others, and that's what we can do. God bless you. Have a great week.